the shine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while.
But quite clearly you're wrong.
He stands between me and any trouble I'm causing.
You worms, that you. Don't chicken lips me. Interesting to talk about for change.
Do you know how many margaritas I had in Vegas last year?
Do you?
Don't you yawn.
Do you know what I'm hearing here about you talking about our Olympics, Evie? Is that you're all excited about it.
I am very
so
excited.
As everybody's
it.
Excited about it. So we should be too.
I am. It's a number of firsts.
Yep, Roy and HG on Triple M. that's the thing I look forward to the Olympics the most is Roy and HG. And I'm disappointed they're not on television this year.
They aren't. Although I heard them the other day and they were a tad sort of...
What?
It was sort of like... Yeah, heard it before and trying really hard to be extra funny.
They can be hit and miss, I will give you that, but for the most part I believe they're hit.
Yeah, well, I only heard a little bit of it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But the big hits were and are the Gold Trap event by Catherine Skinner.
Yes.
We're shooting. That was the first.
Yep,
we've
yep.
got been 92 years since we've managed a medal with the women's rugby sevens bringing home a gold.
Well, they haven't had them for probably 92 years.
Yeah. Actually, while we're talking about Australia being second on the ladder, I just want to throw in right now that the Crows are third on the ladder and we are just climbing up to the finals. Anyway, that's all I want to say.
I think you're mistaken me for someone who's interested. But isn't it good that we were on top of the ladder for the first 2 days? Now, that's not going to happen again.
We're at number two at the moment, though, and that's between, I think it's China... And America's underneath us.
Ooh, now, isn't the Chinese causing a little bit of trouble there, Evie?
With Sung Yang. Is that his name?
Yep.
Sung Yang?
Yep.
Something like that.
Yes, it is.
And he won today.
So just a little bit of history on that.
He came
second to our Matt.
Yeah, Matt
and,
Horton.
And Matt won the 400 freestyle and in a world record time. So Sun Yang would have actually also made world record time because he was that close behind him. Now, he's been done and just coming back from a drug penalty.
Yeah.
Taking sports-enhancing drugs. Now, I asked the question. Now, I know all the Chinese are up in arms because it's politically incorrect for Matt to say, you know, he's one of the good guys. It's one for the good guys. And I get what he's trying to say here. Isn't it interesting that this guy couldn't win beforehand taking drugs? He's gone off the drugs for 2 years and suddenly he's creating a world record behind Matt.
Could that not just be the push of the adrenaline because you have to prove yourself because you're a drug addict before... Not addict, because you're a drug cheat before...
Well said, Evie.
And also, I was just thinking, did you see what Horton said? I like what he said. This is a quote from him. That last 25 metres, the last 15, I felt like I had concrete blocks on my arms, basically.
Mm.
Then I kind of flashed back to my statement this morning and I thought, I really don't have a choice. I really have to beat him now. So that's what I did.
it must be amazing. Like, you've put everything in it for that last 15 metres of what wins or loses your race. Oh, it's a stressful day, Evie. It's so stressful here getting all this stuff organised. Well, it is for you anyway.
I'm causing the stress.
I didn't get to talk about half of what we wanted to talk about the Olympics.
Well,
however,
what have you got?
We'll come back to it.
Okay.
What we're actually going to talk about now are the physical signs of stress.
Well, now, are you seeing this? The sweat, the shaking?
Now, you know what I see as the physical signs of stress, particularly in people that get to about the age of 30, but I see it when they're in their 20s already, it's when they begin to frown and they get that little line in between their eyes there, above their nose.
Do they get that now? Because you're not going to be able to read people because the amount of Botox that people are having.
Well, that's probably true too.
Do you know the weirdest thing I heard about Botox?
No.
Someone said that it was something to do with the beauty pageant people. If you've got a gummy smile, you Botox your upper lip.
Oh, that was the Miss Australia competition. Yeah. They were all expected to get boob jobs.
Boob jobs
and get Botox.
Botox everywhere and lips swollen. And then when I read this thing about a gummy smile, have a Botox lip done, like stop it from moving.
Well, that makes the whole thing pretty fake, doesn't it? If everyone's...
Have you seen the Brazilians, the Jamaican, anything from South America?
I've seen the Brazilian, don't worry about that.
Yeah, but you're talking back about that. You're talking about... Well, no, you actually like the Swiss when it comes to the Olympics. In the, what's that one? The volleyball.
Oh, the beach volleyball.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought the Swiss were really good.
Yeah, my husband seems to be really knowing when that's on.
It's almost like soft porn, I hate to say.
How does the bottom bit stay up?
I keep watching and wondering.
And seriously, boob-wise, luckily that none of them are particularly voluptuous.
Swiss were.
Yeah.
But I actually watch them. As I said to you a couple of weeks ago, I've come across a beach volleyballer before. They have terrific bodies. They work so hard at what they do.
They
must
do
be
look
so
awesome.
Fit.
They do, but
and they're a credit to themselves. Really, what they're able to achieve out there, I couldn't do it.
Do
for
they
five
have men
minutes.
Volleyball,
not
beach ball?
I don't know.
See, how come you don't know whether they've got that, but you. Mr. G and every other man on the planet knows about the ones that wear the teensy-weensy little bikinis.
I have no stress when I'm watching beach volleyball and there's week volleyball.
Don't you? I did while we were watching the Australians and they blew it. That actually gave me stress. What are some physical signs of stress, Lee B?
Well, I see the frowns, I see the wrinkles, but other bits and pieces, like no appetite. Like, you know, you say you've got butterflies in the stomach.
Yeah.
When you're stressed, you get the butterflies in the stomach and of course, you don't want to eat because your digestive system shuts down with it.
It does. And jaw clenching, teeth grinding. You know, people in their sleep when they do that and they wake up and your jaw's killing you. Mm. Even the old achy shoulders, neck and back, that's part of stress.
Yeah, indeed.
You know, and you've got the physical stress where you're just leaning over computers, but you've got the mental one. For some reason, it attacks. Well, I suppose when you've got your jaw... clenching and the muscles go down. That's why big-breasted women have a lot of neck and jaw pain because of the weights on the front.
I'm surprised how easy it is just to massage somebody's neck and shoulders. So with your partner and even your children for that matter too, we're all a little bit stressed out. So why doesn't our partner just quickly come up and give you a gentle, maybe for 2 minutes a day? It's not hard, is it? You know, but it's not hard,
you know,
but we don't do it.
It normally works one way.
I agree.
I don't have to spell it out, do I?
Yeah,
I do not have to spell it out.
I said to my Gidge, I said one time, I said, "It's." I said, well, you've given me a rub. How about a massage now? I think it's the last time she ever did it.
Well, you know, what is stress? Like, I had to look that up. I thought, you know, like, I know the physical signs. What causes it? And apparently the dictionary version of what is stress is pushing yourself or being pushed beyond your limits.
Well, I guess that's it. And I relate back into my business days, and that there's pressure, but it depends on how you handle it. Now, we can all take pressure. It's if it gets on top of you that it becomes stress, isn't it?
Yep.
So I guess that's exactly what you're saying
there
as well.
Yeah, you've got to do those little, you know, little step by step. And some of the, you know, when you're relaxed, you know, some people say, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to feel like when I'm relaxed compared to my stressed self. Well, your brain waves will change immediately when you're not uptight. You start feeling more positive. And, you know, do you know you get dry mouth when you're stressed? Did you realise that? A lot of people get dry mouth and can't swallow, and that leads to your indigestion and nausea and all that sort of stuff. And that's all to do with, like you said, it's the digestive system. And I love this. You know how we've got the flight, fright thing?
Yes.
Fight
or flight.
Yeah. Yep. There's a third one.
Oh. Is it
and
rhyme?
It's freeze.
Oh, okay.
And
where
I love
where you
that
go into
when
a panic.
Yeah, where you just totally freeze in the spot and it's too much, and you can't fight it. You can't run away. You've just stopped.
That seems to be more prevalent now too. I hear of people with anxiety, like anxiety problems.
Panic attacks.
Panic attacks.
They're very real for people where they almost have to go into a small area and shut them off themselves off. It's awful, and that's part of that. Also, your blood pressure goes down when you're not stressed at all. And that stomach nausea thing, the blood supply is diverted from the digestive system and returns to normal. Because when you're not when you're freaking out, it goes all pumpy into your stomach and that. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, muscles ease. And for the people that suffer with menopause and hot flushes, your skin temperature returns to normal, which is nice.
That's interesting. And what we should say to people listening is that in the next section, what we're going to talk about is how to get around this. So we're not just telling you what all the problems are.
Yeah.
But, you know, a couple of the more annoying ones that people do, one of them is biting nails. You hear that biting nail thing going on.
Yeah.
But the other one is people that jiggle. You know, their feet jiggle all the time.
Ugh. I've got one of those at home, and it's at night, where it's restless leg syndrome, which is real. Have you ever had it?
Well, I guess that's another one.
Yeah.
I'm talking about more when they're just sitting in the middle of the day and they're just jiggling their feet or their hands or whatever.
Or doing this, rocking.
Yeah, yeah. But as you say, the restless legs were in there at night and they can't control it. Yeah. That must be terrible.
Oh, have you never had it?
No.
I've had it and it's just the weirdest thing. It's where you have to pressure. Like if you're sitting on the lounge or something, you almost have to press against something to stop this sensation of your legs being taken over by I don't know what. Okay. And it's not really stress related. It's more to do with your nutritional or your what you did for that day. But it's really weird.
You being the health expert, Evie, I look forward to the next section.
Oh, yeah, I can cure everything. you just look after me. And the stresses of those poor girls in that volleyballing thing on the beach holding up that stuff is beyond me. What other stuff have you been watching?
Oh, in terms of the Olympics?
Yeah.
Watched a little bit of the hockey. I was disappointed in the hockey results. Yeah. Our girls were so much stronger in years gone by. But, you know, you go through rebuilding stages and I guess that's, you know, everyone's trying their hardest. And that's the beauty of the Olympics, isn't it? They're just going flat out to do their best.
Yeah, I actually don't mind the rowing. I've got sort of, I don't know why, it's sort of, I've enjoyed the rowing. I don't know.
Did you see the waves in the lake? It was waves about 30 centimetres to 60 centimetres
high.
Over
there or back home?
No, well, both right now.
It's a bit like our show started today. That's what people would have missed out on.
The blank spot.
There was a little blank spot there.
That was really good conversation.
We really had a lot to say in that 15 seconds. Yeah. And the stress level went through the roof. And how did we swap it? From stress to relax.
Oh, we did.
We laughed.
Yes. We just went,
Oh, my heavens. Oh, my God.
Put on our lavender vaporizer.
I was going to say something. No, I'm not going there. Anyway, I believe swap it is the thing. When
swap
I'm
it.
Sitting there and I'm stressed and, okay, it's time to swap it. And how do we swap it, Lee?
I'm just waiting for you to tell me.
Well, you know an easy thing? You know how people suddenly they've worked all day and they come in the door and it's 7:30 and there's all these hungry mouths to feed and you're supposed to cook? Don't. Go and grab a chicken from the corner shop. Who cares? Go and get some veg. Bit of gravy and feed them that for that night.
Don't sweat the small stuff.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, that's just something like just to give yourself a break that week. You know, you won't do it every night anyway.
Mm.
And plus, don't guilt yourself out when you've had that kind of day where you are stressed to the eyeballs. Kids don't understand it. They just want something to eat. They'll have I'm not going to say Cocoa Pops. I've never done that in my life. Weet-Bix, they'll do a porridge. You can do an egg on toast. You can do cheese and tomato. You can go and get a cheap meal and bring it home. Don't sweat that.
Isn't that a funny thing? And as kids, we probably got fed that stuff all the time and didn't realise what our mother or father were doing for us. We just accepted that's what it is.
Question in it, because Mum, I must admit, they were shift workers. I had shift working parents.
Yeah.
So it was quite odd. But there was always something to eat. And, you know, sometimes it was just reheats from the night before. And if Mum had a late shift and Dad, then we'd go and get some. And I think we'd only do it probably once every few weeks, go and get some fish and chips. That's what you could get.
Well,
the local Chinese.
There's a family story that goes around that my mother tells. Now that my father's not with us any longer, so he can't comment on it. But the fact when she was in hospital having one of our brothers, he figured that Weet-Bix for dinner was a good thing too. So
exactly.
We'd have Weet-Bix for breakfast, Weet-Bix for dinner, we were up.
Fibre, milk,
that's true.
Calcium, probably banana on it or something.
Yeah, probably.
Something like that. So, you know, don't do that. Mm-hmm. And also when you've got that sort of stress level, they reckon spending time in nature.
You, now you mean do without that. Clothes on? Is that what you're saying?
Are we back to the Olympics, Lee? Can you get your head out of there? No, like you do, you'll go for a bike ride, or you might go for a swim or a surf. You're reconnecting with nature and just taking time out of being near electronics and being in a house that's stressing you out, or, you know, because family members can
stress
you out.
That's right, even just getting out for a walk. In fact, I'm going for a walk into the Gammon Ranges in 2 weeks' time.
That's right.
So that's that'll be my little brain clearer. But just any walk around the block.
Yeah, you just need to get away from wherever that stress is, and especially if you're at work. You know, if you can pop out, you know, people used to pop out for a cigarette, pop out and just do a quick little breather outside and come back in.
Well, can I say that things that are not good for stress, and people think that it is good, is alcohol and ciggies are not good for stress, and nor is coffee good for stress. So
they all,
you know,
just
that's not your answer. All that's doing is avoiding things, and that's not the way to deal with stress.
And also, you know how you mentioned massaging?
Yes.
In a serious manner. You know, if you can and you can afford it, or go and get a massage if you're a business type and need that sort of thing. And we were talking about laughter. Laughter is something that you can do. And watch a funny movie. Like when you're at home, if you've had a crap day at work or everything that possibly has gone wrong has gone, just turn on the TV. It's not the devil incarnate. Put it on, put a funny movie on, and let yourself laugh.
Do you know the funny thing is that every decision we make in life is just a decision that could go either way. We could do it this way or we could do it that way. In the moment that you think you're unhappy, if you think of it the other way, you can be happy. All you have to do is decide, now I'll be happy.
Well, you can trick yourself into believing it.
You just
shut the door and say, well, I'm not that, you know, I'm not that sad. Although we're being very simplistic. We're just looking at superficially.
I'm sure there'll be overwhelming problems for some people. And having said that, there's lines out there. There's helplines. There's Lifeline. There's places
Beyond
like that.
Blue,
so,
and
if you do need help, seek help before it gets too hard.
Yeah, we're not talking on that level. We're just talking about, you know, the kids have been, you know, some child's kept you up all night, or you've been studying. You've done that lately, and it's sorry, that's me hitting the microphone. See, I'm waving my hands around. This
that's
is
how
the
you
problem.
Talk.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, and you know, one of the nicest things is putting on the kettle and going through the ritual of making a tea and talking to a friend. That's really nice as well. And, and you know, open up and say, you know, so-and-so really annoyed me, or it's all getting a little bit too much, you know, just something.
Those days when people used to speak over the fence. Now, they're lovely days. I can remember back, probably my granny was the last person I can remember talking to the neighbour over the fence. And my mother would have done it a little bit. But they would have been great days, because they're just, you know, they're just connecting with something and somebody. Otherwise, you can be in your house and not speak to anybody for a whole day.
That's it. It's
and I'm
true.
Sure people do that.
The village is gone. We don't have the village.
Yeah.
And you know what? There's too much pretense. There's the pretense of being the super dad, and he goes to work and he comes home and he does stuff, and the super mum goes to work and comes home and does stuff, and everyone does everything perfectly, and then the door's shut and you're going, I can't do it, but everyone thinks I can, and this sort of stuff. But for me, one of the best releases is dancing by myself with no one watching.
Oh, okay. There's a mental picture.
Listen, I don't play sport. This is my way. And I have a lot of songs in my arsenal, and there's one that I'm going to play in a sec. What do you have something?
I haven't got it coming up, but no, there's not particularly. Do you
get out? How do you like? Do you jump around, or do you hop on your bike and go?
I probably do enough of that as well, but I like a good bit of Talking Heads. A bit of jungle music's always good for me.
This is the one I like whenever I hear this. And I'm off, mate.
All right, let's go. So Steve around the corner says to his mother, "The kids all hate me. I don't want to go to school. The teachers all give me a hard time." His mother says, "Steve, you've got to go. You're the principal." So you will have heard Steve a few weeks back.
Yeah, your chap, when he was from, what was the name?
He was from Marden Senior College,
that's
actually.
That's it, yes. But he was brilliant.
Yeah, he was, and he loves his job.
Yeah.
And what we really wanted to talk about here was, if you don't love your job, then it's time for a career change.
How do you know, Lee?
In this day and age, if you're not happy with what you're doing, then there's nothing wrong with seeking out other employment. Do you know university students that come into the workforce now, within 5 years, 80% of those are doing a job different to what they were trained for. Yeah. Now, that's phenomenal, really.
I was aware.
Yeah. So there's opportunities to change. I know work is hard now and it's, you know, it's not as easy as it used to be just to go and change jobs. But, you know, if you're a conscientious person and you have a record behind you, then I think the opportunities are still there.
And also you've got to be aware that if it's making you ill, you've got to go, because at the end of the day, if you get that sick from going, then you're going to be without a job anyway. You know?
I just think this in this day and age, we I don't know whether it's my age that's telling me this, but I think we're given one life, and really in this life we want to be happy with what we do. We really ideally want to be happy all the time. So why would you take yourself off to a job that's giving you grief?
And real grief. How do you know? I think you know if you ring in sick all the time. I think that's a giveaway, isn't it? If I, you know, like, oh, I don't feel well.
Yeah, or don't want to get up in the morning. I don't want to get up and face this again today. And I guess that's a loss of passion, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you've got to have passion. You've got to have a flame that's burning. And you know who else is annoying in job places? The whinger. The one that whinges, that comes in, I hate everybody, I hate everything I do, I hate it, and then you're sitting there and by the end of the day, by lunchtime, you want to throttle them.
Well, that negativity, you don't want that negativity in any workplace really, because it drags everybody else down to their level.
But, exactly.
But, you know, I had an experience on this. I had this is when I was in the shopping mall, and I used to have a lady come up to me, and she was one of the cleaners there, and I talked to everybody. And she would, she'd come up, and all she'd do is tell me about her problems. And I just listened to this day after day and I thought, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to see you coming toward me because I know what I'm expecting. So I thought I'll just take the bull by the horns. So I said to her, look, I really love to have a conversation with you. I really enjoy the fact that you come up here, but I really don't want to hear all your complaints. I'd rather we come up and have a happy conversation. Mm. Do you know, she didn't realise what she was doing and she just turned it around like that.
Wow.
And from then on, we just have the greatest fun in conversation. And she just didn't realise, she just got into a habit of doing that.
You've got courage in pointing out stuff to people, haven't you?
Well, I think you have to have a certain amount of tact. I'm not saying you can
but you also have to be courageous, because a lot of people are too timid to call someone up on them being negative or causing you to come down a bit.
Well, I guess it's for the benefit of who, so...
Yeah, I think it's a good trait.
I just looked upon it. It's for her benefit too.
Mm.
And honestly, she... she was going through some health problems a little way down the track too, and this positivity, I think, really helped her. Yeah. I think there was a real benefit for her long-term as well with this.
I remember pulling up an air hostess when we were over with the kids Disneylanding, and we got on this plane and they were so horrid. And one of them was in particularly foul mood and rude to us and pushing us around. And I ended up going up to her, a bit like you would do, and I went up to her and just tapped her on the hand and said, are you having a bad day, hon?
Yeah.
And she sort of looked at me like so shocked and she went, oh, why do you say? I said, I can see it in your face. You look very cross with stuff. I said, is something really bad happened?
Mm.
And then she let me know. No, the husband rang up and he got on a case and they had this big fight and blah, blah, blah. And then I said to her, next time he rings, you can say what I told her to say.
Yeah.
And I can't say it on air.
Oh. Only two words?
Two words. Yeah. And she laughed and laughed and she was wonderful after that. So sometimes you need to break
just snap out of it.
But that's all personal stuff. But when you go to work and you take your troubles to work or you hate work that much that, you know, you're lamenting about that job all day and you know someone else that would love it, move on. Just move on and stop bringing everyone else down.
Well, I'll put down a couple of things that I thought was really, really valuable for people that, you know, considering maybe this job isn't exactly what I want. Well, so let's have a look at it. Let's say, okay, if your potential, if your work that you do at this place is not valued, well, that's not good for you. if your growth has ceased, so you fail to improve yourself and not bring something
to the table,
and are not given the opportunities to progress.
Yeah.
That's, and if you're not rewarded sufficiently, and I think that's a really, you know, you need to be rewarded, not necessarily monetarily. Sometimes
words.
You need to be just complimented for what you've done. Say, look, you're doing a great job, mate.
Yeah, and that's where the bosses have to pull up their socks, because sometimes when your crew is lamenting, you've got to go back to the boss, don't you?
And unfortunately, sometimes the bosses are not in a good space.
As well.
So they don't want to be there. So it comes down the line, but doesn't it, as you were saying, from the bosses, the attitude usually comes from the top.
Yeah.
So, and then it filters down and gets probably progressively worse by the time it gets to the bottom. The amount of people that you go into some retail outlets and they're just, I mean, I'll say retail outlets. How about some of the government departments you ring?
Ugh.
You know, like
the census.
There's no help.
The poor people trying to get through on the census tonight. And everyone a reminder, fill it all in, do your thing. Although I know Xenophon and Lambie and a whole lot of them are not putting their names and addresses or anything like that.
I've already done mine.
Yeah.
I just did it. I just put it on. We've given them another years. In New Zealand and Canada, they give them. And they say they're going to destroy them after 3 to 5. And at the end of your census, for those that haven't got on there, there's a box that you tick if you don't want that kept after a period of time. Then you just tick the box and then your name won't be kept.
I think one of the things with it, with the whole census thing, was that I forgot what I was going to say.
Okay.
I don't know where my brain went then. I had something that I wanted to complain about, and it wasn't about the addresses and all that sort of stuff. Or is that what people are worried about?
I think the fact that you're going to be identified to the information you give is what people are concerned about. They don't mind giving information for statistics, but they can't see why you should have to put your name to that. And I understand that. I think that's fair enough.
I think we feel invaded all the time.
Well, we're getting more invaded.
Yeah, I think there's less secrets. You know what? They pretty much would have everything that we've got, they'd already know.
I go to my accountant. Okay, my accountant's got how many people in the office. He knows what interest I get on my bank accounts. He knows, so therefore he knows all my bank details effectively. He knows any medical fees and things that I've been charged for and whatever. I mean, how can my accountant and all his staff know this?
Know everything.
You know, and we're worried about giving our name out to census.
I think, too, it was put out that they would sell the information on to other people. That was the...
Oh, there's a privacy statement there that says they won't.
Okay.
So if the government says it won't, I trust the government.
They're the voices of the Adelaide Hills.
That's they are, they're
actually,
everywhere.
It's been a bit breezy up here and the weather was terrible. Looking nice though.
Well, our rain was coming in, it's sideways. How does it do that?
There's a big man in the clouds going,
yeah.
That's what he's doing.
Tell it to the grandkids.
You know, when we were talking about the census, then off air we were just talking about what is in the census? All they want to know about is your how much you earn and where you worked, really, at the end of the day, don't they?
Yes.
When you read that. And we sort of brought up the question, what about dogs and cats and why don't they care how many animals we look after or anything like that?
Well, I suppose you could make the census an hour long to fill out if you wanted to add all those important bits and pieces.
My dog was family.
That's true.
And I want to know how many dogs there are in Australia that we're looking after.
Oh, okay. Good question.
You know, and cats, how many?
How many stars are in the sky?
Exactly. Should we start counting them? But don't you find that sus that they're only asking really at the end of the day money questions?
They are.
So is that maybe for tax avoidance?
Well, I don't have a problem with them catching tax avoiders, quite frankly. I think we're not Italy, we're Australia, we were supposed to pay tax.
Or Greece.
Yeah, true. Or other than that, we need just to set up an overseas internet company and then just not pay tax either.
Offshore accounts are good.
Yeah.
Ways
I didn't ask how many
it.
Of those.
That's what I mean. It's an odd census, and there's age in it too, isn't it? There's not a lot. There's a lot of questions with not a lot of bulk to it.
Yeah, I agree. It's funny. It's a funny one.
It is bizarre.
See, now you were talking to me, speaking of dogs.
Yeah, because that's what we were talking about, weren't we? And then we got off to the census.
We
thing
did
again.
Back to there again. Now you're telling me you're getting ready or thinking. To move into an apartment.
That's it.
So if you were to move into an apartment,
yes,
you obviously can't take a big dog with you, because for one thing, you're going to have to walk this thing. You're going to have this thing living in the apartment when you're not there.
Yeah,
and not running around in a yard.
Yeah,
and then you have to walk it around the streets of. Well, you're talking about living in the
city.
So have you given any thought to a Shih Tzu?
No.
Are they nice? No, you haven't.
Are they nice?
I think they're all bloody ankle biters.
Yeah, Shih Tzu's sort of. What does it do?
Well, they
is it hairy?
Well, yeah, they are a little bit hairy, but there's lots of these little dogs you get now.
You like your pugs?
I don't like pugs, but I know some people.
My son wanted a
really
pug.
Love a pug.
And he wanted to call it Beast.
That's a funny name. You know, Pekingese, there was always the rumour that if you hold a Pekingese up by its feet, its eyes would fall out. Do you think that's true?
In animal cruelty, yes, I would think so. I sort of like, I did look up a few things and the King Charles Spaniel came up and I already had one and my darling Dino passed away probably 2 years ago now and it did say they're mild-mannered and they're affectionate with humans or animals. Mine was agoraphobic. He did not want to go for walks. He hated anyone that came in. He was just a bizarre dog.
Yeah.
And I had him for 15 years and he would bark at anyone that walked in that house.
Well, you want that. I don't mind someone barking when someone walks into the house. They're in charge.
But he didn't like them, even once they were there for a few hours.
Oh, no, weird. Forget barking then.
Yeah, and trying to take him for a walk. But I think what happened was I did take him for a walk and one day this big black dog came up and attacked him and so I had to pick him up and put him above my shoulders and hold him up there and try and get rid of this black dog that decided I look tasty as well. And ever since then, it was like a mental thing for him. And he would go for a little walk and in the end he used to put his little paws down and you'd try and slide him to walk and he just refused.
Take him for a drag around the block.
Yeah. So you know what? I'm starting to think I don't want a dog.
I've been without a dog for a little while now and I don't like the feeling. I like to have my dog. But I'm in a place that just can't have. It's not convenient to have a dog just right now. But you know, I also like the big dogs. Maybe you know, I don't think there's enough poodles in this world. You're not talking to me.
Well, what am I going to say to that? Just because you don't like poodles. I like poodles. They're not hairy. They don't drop the hair, man. Sturdy old pine. When the sun refused to shine.
Evie, we were talking about passion in our job. That last song that played was Maritza doing Primavera. Now, she's been here for WOM Adelaide previously and she performed Primavera here. I think, personally, that's the most passionate song. It's just like that's what drives the sound out of her body to sing that. It's just incredible.
I do love passionate singers. Like I think Tom Jones is one. And a lot of people don't like him, but I love him because and when he sings something and he does this, there's this pain through. I love stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you know what? I reckon the ones like Louis Miguel, the Spanish guy, and, you know, and the Italian music. I love ethnic music. I like indigenous music. There's a power to their music. There's the passion. There's emotion. I just love it.
Do you know? Did you see the series on recently? It was on about Albert Productions, Albert the recording studio in Melbourne.
No.
And they were talking about the Australian sound. Now they had people on their books like Stevie Wright, AC/DC. They had Ted Mowry. They had John Paul Young.
John Paul Young.
And what they were saying was is the sound the Americans didn't get, they just couldn't make this sound that we were making because Australians drive their guitars and their music with a passion that the rest of the world just it's an edgy thing that they just don't get.
Is that right?
Yeah. So incredible.
Wow, and that was what that whole thing was about.
Oh, no, it was about lots of different things, but that was just one of the reflections, particularly when AC/DC went to record, because they went to America. They went to England first, and then when they I can't remember the album now, but they went to America, and that's just when Bon Scott had passed away, and that's where they wanted to record that album. And it was all set to go when he died.
That was a terrible death, wasn't it, the ending of him? And Michael Hutchence was the same.
Yeah.
Some of the great voices, like we were talking about Amy Winehouse, like she went early. Janis Joplin, you've got Hendrix. Oh, and The Doors.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
I know. And all of them were emotive, weren't they? You think about everyone I've just named that's gone early.
Janis Joplin, incredible like that.
Yeah, and they all like felt everything they sang. And I love stuff. I love that sort of music and that sort of artist.
Yeah, and they're gone. Oh, see, I feel like something's been taken from me when that happens. I mean, certainly it's taken from them, and I'm being very selfish in saying that. But I still feel as though something's been taken from my life when I don't get to hear them. And it's a bit like John Lennon to me. I mean, he went, what did he go, at the age of 40?
40, yeah, maybe.
Way too soon. You know, he had brilliant stuff still yet to come, but we only got this amount.
But it will live on, won't it?
Well, what we've got lives on, but not... We don't get to benefit from the experience of his...
Yeah, they don't pass it on,
they? Yeah, because we learn, like in life, you'd know this, you actually begin in life to see things differently, and it's that reflection of the difference that I think can, you know, that I'd love to observe in people.
Well, we go from black and white, like... I seriously went through a black and white stage when I was younger. Did you?
Oh, sure.
Like everything was black and white. And then suddenly... Through the 30s, there's a tiny bit of this grey creeping in. And I'm not talking about my hair. Talking about the thought process. Well, I suppose you would look at when you were black and white, if anyone cheated on you, even with a kiss, you would absolutely drop them like a hot potato, or you just walk away and that. And then grey comes into it and you think, well... You know, we were on a break, or there was an emotional, breakdown, and I can understand what happened or why they went like that. You know, like, I just think we learn as we get older, and then I think it all goes back again. Because I was talking to someone in their 80s recently, and I can't believe how they've gone through life and been grey in their looking over.
So you're not talking about grey hair now, you're talking about the outlook.
Not the black and white, not the white, the grey, the outlook of life is a hot pot of everything, you know.
Well, everything's not yes and no.
Yeah.
That's right.
And now she's in her 80s and she's gone back to like 19 and talking about the fact that women shouldn't be in high-powered jobs, they're not up for it. They shouldn't be paid for it. And I was just so shocked because this woman was a trailblazer in her earlier years.
Well, so many older people tend to do that. I notice a lot. They become more outspoken. But that, as you say, their rationale to look at both sides of the argument begins to break down. So they're outspoken, but on one side or the other.
Yeah, they've gone back.
Do you know, I've experienced, I've seen some people recently that you would think that your friends in time would be someone that you would keep around you. Life becomes easy because they're the most comfortablest people. Comfortablest, is that all right? Anyway, it is today.
Is in my policy.
Because they're the easiest, the happiest, the most well-known people. But life becomes strangely complicated as people get older, and suddenly things become political, and strange things become important, unnecessary things become important, instead of just being relaxed and just get along.
Weird, don't you, when you think by this age it should be pretty easy going, and all of a sudden it gets all complicated again. That's what I mean. It's this whole... The world just keeps turning, and we just keep turning.
And very little of what we do will actually make any difference to anything in the long term. But, you know, there are some people out there that make a big difference to life. But on the whole, as we said before,
not us.
Don't sweat the small stuff.
Currently there's a push Australia-wide to get people to donate their organs to those that are in trouble. And I was reading an article, Lee, over the weekend, and it horrified me about the organ market, the black selling of organs overseas to people around the world that have the money to buy them. They'll spend anything between $50,000 to $100,000 for an organ for themselves because they can't get one in their home countries because there aren't enough registered donors. And for start something like in, you know, in ISIS at the moment, they're involved.
Yes.
They get Syrian refugees to sell theirs to get family passage to Europe. And they don't get very much. They'll just get the passage. They don't get the money.
And they get to Europe, but it doesn't mean they're allowed to stay in any country in particular. They'll just take them across the water.
Yeah, just put them on a truck, shove them across.
And for what would you do? Maybe give up a kidney?
You can give up. Kidneys are really popular.
An eye.
Eyes are popular. Part of livers, I think, as well.
Makes me think of the Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
Toe, I'll get you a big toe.
Yeah, yeah. And even they shoot prisoners on demand in Asia, where prisoners are sitting in jail, and if there's a booking for a heart or something like that, they'll shoot them. But they won't shoot them until there's a booking from all the organs. So there's a liver and a couple of kidneys and a heart.
There's 10 organs, or the 10 things they can take from our body to transplant by memory.
And they won't shoot the guy unless there's 5 that have been booked, pre-booked. Wow. Isn't that terrible?
Yeah, yeah.
And you've got asylum seekers that are selling their kidneys to get on a boat to come to Australia. Now, this is a black market that's just grown, absolutely grown. Mm. And I get people get freaked out about signing up to give their organs when they've passed away. You know, like I've registered and you've registered.
Yes.
We've talked about this many, many moons ago. I think the one greatest fear is you're going to be alive and they're not going to work on you to keep you alive. Because, you know, you're a dead loss, basically.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is a bad
right.
terminology, yeah. But that I think that's the greatest fear. Or, you know, you'll not be passed away. You'll be in a coma or something and then they pull the plug or something. That's not how doctoring works. They are there to save you right up until the last possible
moment. Well, what you're talking of effectively is a style of euthanasia, and they wouldn't do that.
No, they do not do that.
So it's only when you finally go. But you need... It needs to be in a very short time frame, isn't it, between when you do pass away and when you can use it. One thing I thought was really interesting is that Australia is the world leader in successful transplants. Now, I think that's a phenomenal figure.
Yeah.
But what you need to know, you can put your name on this list, but you actually need to tell your loved ones or your next of kin what you need to do as well, because all that does, I believe, is just open up
conversation.
Yes, yes. Yep. This person has said they will, but now we need the family to say, okay, great, let's go ahead. I've actually got a close friend that had a heart transplant and was the benefit of one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just what a phenomenal success.
Legacy.
That they can keep living. I just think it's amazing that there's apparently there's a waiting list in Australia of about 1,500.
Yeah, that's... and. Every year that can grow.
Mm.
And this is why the black market's working, because there was a chap that needed a transplant and he was 61 and he was deemed too old for a transplant.
Okay.
And so he was desperate to live because he's probably seeing himself as living another 30 years. In this day and age, you can.
Yeah, that's right.
So he went overseas and bought himself one for $100,000, you know, but...
And she got it put in while he was overseas?
Yeah, but they come back and the looking after is by us. And that's where if there's a botch-up job or there's, you know, an infection, they come back and it's our problem.
Oh, I can sort of get that. That's okay.
But medically they're saying it's not right, because then we all pay for that poor person's botched job that he got overseas. But I can see I would fight for my life
I don't have a problem with that personally.
Yeah, I don't. But the medical fraternity do. Because it's like people going overseas on a far lighter thing and getting, you know, medical treatment over there, and when it goes wrong, they come here and we have to, as a taxpayer, pay for it and look after them.
Yeah.
So that's where the medical fraternity is
coming. But I guess
if
we can't provide the service in the first place...
I'd be gone.
Yeah.
I don't blame the guy at all, but this is where people have to talk about it. And if you've registered, 91%... of families agree. Once they know that you've registered and you've talked about
that's
it.
That's your wish.
That's your wish, 91%.
Yep. Yep.
I don't know what happens to the other 9%, but 91% say they will. If you're not, it drops down to 52%.
Yeah, I get why you wouldn't as well, because, you know, you'd say, why do I want my my father or mother or brother or sister, whatever it might be, what I want them cut up and you know, used in that. But it's more serious than that. The
well, we have to recognise ourselves that this body is just a shell.
That's right. Our soul is us.
Yeah, that's
and
different.
That's the bit they don't transplant.
Exactly.
And that's by the time you've died, that's gone. That soul's gone.
It is. And when
to
my mum
else.
Yeah, well, my mum passed away, and there was never any conversation about that.
Mm.
And 2 hours after she passed away, I got a phone call asking for part of her body.
Oh yeah.
And her partner freaked out.
And said no.
Yeah.
Okay.
Totally freaked out.
Yep.
And because he was her partner for 20 years and that, I wasn't going to override him.
Yeah.
And I thought, what a shame, because that would have been her legacy. But he, as an older person with an ethnic background and ethnic thought process, saw her without her eyes in the afterlife.
Yeah, okay.
That's how far he took this freaking out over it.
Yeah.
And this is why I think the conversation is really important.
Yeah, I agree.
To have it while you're here with your kids and your kids, they might want to do it, and you have to accept that as well.
Mm.
So it's not easy.
I think it's really really gutsy, really brave. I had the opportunity to go down into the bottom of Adelaide University where the cadavers are.
I've done that too.
And I think that experience, well, it's an amazing experience, and the person that was overseeing everything there said, you know, just respect the fact while you're going through and looking at all the body parts and looking at all the people here that they were loved by somebody and they've donated their body for your benefit. So I think that's terrific. Just one thing on the Australian donor register that we're talking about, it will be on your license, but also you can register that online, and or you can in Mount Barker here, you can do that either at Medicare or Centrelink. And so there's opportunities. There's three places that people in Mount Barker or surrounds can
that's
get
that's excellent. And I'm not surely, I know we've got it on our licence, but I think you have to go that extra step and go online and actually register there as well. Something I'll have a look at. But definitely, if once it's on your licence, you've talked about it with your family. It opens the door.
Mm. I was watching on Facebook the other day, Evie. And
what were you watching on Facebook?
Oh, there's always something on there, isn't there, to occupy your time. But there was a driving instructor who had his young students speaking on their mobile phone or texting while he was teaching them to drive. And they had to go through the witch's hats and do all the business that they do. And what they do, they were saying, okay, so the witch's hat is a person and you've got to go around them, but I want you to be texting on your phone. I want you to be phoning people and talking.
Wow.
Well, they were just wiping out people, basically.
Yeah.
And what he was instructing to them, if you think that you can, that you're so smart that you can text or talk on your mobile phone while you're in the car, while you're driving, then you're going to kill people.
Yes.
And that's what happens. Now, coming up for the next 2 weeks to a month, certainly till the end of August, the police in the local area are checking for anyone that's on their mobile phone, whether they're texting or driving. Now, you'd be the same as me. You drive around the place all day long. You see people texting and talking on their phones. I know of a situation down Goulwell Way where a mother of two was texting on her phone and she wiped out two tourists as well as herself.
Oh, my goodness.
It happens. You're not that smart. We're not that smart. Just don't do it.
And also wear your seatbelt.
That's like the other thing they're
doing. Yeah, they're doing that as well. But I've seen people, you know, the biggest annoyance, I think we'll talk about annoying things next week.
Will we?
Like bad manners and just dumb things people do.
Yeah.
It annoys a lot when I see, and it's older men that do it. I haven't spotted women doing it. It's where they get in the car and they start driving down the street and then they put their seatbelt on.
I've had two friends picked up doing that. Cost them big time.
It's just a dumb thing to do.
Yeah.
And I've seen two guys in the last 24 hours that have done it.
They say most car accidents happen within 2 kilometres of your home.
They do.
So they're quite happy to get you on that. And because it's not under certain state regulations, they charge heaps. I think it might be between $400 and $500 for not wearing a seatbelt.
I know they're going to have it on eventually, but in that time zone, you are being distracted.
Mm, true.
And all you need is a little child to run across the road or an animal and you've killed it and stuff like that.
Hey, did you watch something that's not at all related to this? Did you watch that special on Stephen Hawking the other day? He's 71 years old, do you mind? I mean, who thought in his condition he would live that long with motor neuron disease?
Oh, wow.
And because we see Terry Danaher at the moment going through that and trying to raise awareness of that. But Stephen Hawking, who can have more worldwide awareness? But what he's managed to do, he wrote a book called A Brief History of Time. Now, this was effectively a science nerd book. That was put in a way that we could all read it, sold over 100 million copies. It's unbelievable what he's achieved.
And it's because he wrote it in a way we can understand. It's like the book, The Brain That Heals Itself.
Oh, yeah.
It was written, I've forgotten the guy's name, but it's a brilliant book, The Brain That Heals Itself, written that I can understand it.
That's what we need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know,
anyone can speak literary terms or science terms, but it doesn't mean the rest of us can understand it.
Not teaching us anything.
No.
I tell you what, the old Oxford University can teach us something.
Mm.
Yeah, researchers have been at it again. You know how much we like researchers.
Scientists.
But I really liked this. They've predicted that it's the end to restless nights. And restless nights are caused by, they think, the dopamine levels in your body. And we can switch it off, that will do it, right?
Please tell me. I had a shocking one last night.
Yeah, okay. Well, the breakthrough is they studied it on fruit flies.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there as I read it and I went, oh, yeah, well, I know the fruit fly will be sitting there with his little little legs behind his back going, oh, I can't sleep. I'm worried about the dough, the money in the bank. I haven't got enough. Or, oh, this job in the dough. How am I going to do it all? I don't have enough stuff. That's what the flies are doing.
I'm so tense between my wings.
That's what I was thinking. Oh, you know, and it's laying there going, oh, geez, this bed's lumpy. I just can't get a thing, or I've got a knot in my back, or I wonder if a hot water bottle might help that or something. On fruit flies.
That's a strange thing.
How weird is that?
Yeah.
And they say, and this is even weirder and scarier, that their sleep control neurons are the same as humans.
I don't see, that's amazing. I don't know how they know that.
Yeah. Does the fly ring them up and say, hey, mate, I'm having a really bad time sleeping. Can you work it out on your humans and then get back to us? Do some tests at the sleep centres and give us a call later.
Well, there's something about the fruit fly, though. The fruit fly is not annoying to us. So maybe do it to the mosquito.
You've got to try and find its tiny little brain. I had the mother of mosquitoes on me. I had played golf for the first time in months. And this thing came on my arm and it was the size of like that, about a caterpillar about that long.
Oh, really?
It was huge.
And it was a real mosquito?
It was a mosquito. And he wouldn't leave me alone.
Wasn't a Bazinji one or whatever they've got over in...
Oh, Zika.
Zika.
Bazinji. What's a Bazinji?
I don't know.
The Zika virus. See, I wouldn't go there to Brazil. I don't care. I wouldn't go. I don't want the Zika virus.
It's not life-threatening. I think they've built it up to be bigger than Ben-Hur, but it's not actually life-threatening. It's just very, very annoying and it makes you sick for a little while.
I mean, she's very sick. And for women, though, Lee, it's far more contentious.
If you're pregnant, I think. Isn't that the case?
Well, if you get the virus, I think it can affect you even with the pregnancy, can't it?
That's what I'm saying, yeah, yeah. But oh, you mean if you get it beforehand, it can stop you getting pregnant or make it... Yeah, I
can it?
Well, you know, I'll just check my medical books when I get home and I'll get back to you on that.
And also, just being over there, I was reading an article about something that wasn't cool, and they found a bullet in one of the announcer's boxes that was overlooking a particular race. And I was thinking, I don't know if I'd be really relaxed about that. They reckon it was a police rifle bullet that was in this particular announcer's box. And I'm thinking, when did that stray? When did that go off? You know, that it's still sitting there.
So we're saying this bullet is actually lodged in there somewhere as though it's been shot out of a gun.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's an interesting country.
Yes, it is.
It really is with everything that's going on. They've had a lot of trouble over there, though.
It's lovely to see the countryside. You know, the camera work is really terrific. Watching the bike race the other day, up and around, looking at Copacabana Beach. I think it's...
I love the look of it.
Isn't that one of the joys of watching these things? As much as watching the athletes, we get to see the countryside. Tour de France is good like that too. That's why I like that.
Yeah, Grey likes that because you see all that lovely touring stuff and... Yeah. Keeps me up at night. Anyway, that's the end of this show. We will come back again next week and do it all again, Lee.
I'm looking forward to that already.